The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "The Son of Man must be lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." Yes, God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not be lost, but may have eternal life. For God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. No one who believes in him will be condemned, but whoever refuses to believe is condemned already, because he has refused to believe in the name of God's only Son. On these grounds is sentence pronounced, that though the light has come into the world, men have shown they prefer darkness to the light because their deeds were evil. And indeed, everybody who does wrong hates the light and avoids it, for fear his action should be exposed. The man who lives by the truth comes out into the light, so that it may be plainly seen that what he does is done in God. The Gospel of the Lord. Are you saved? Is one of those questions often asked quite earnestly by many different religious sects. It's not quite the way we, or quite our style. But of course, for many people today, they wouldn't understand the question anyway, because what does it mean? What are you saved from? What's the saving all about? Many don't see the need to be saved. And of course, in a way, that presents a problem in trying to get the Christian message across. Because two words that are of vital importance, that you've heard me say them before, for Christians, are creation and redemption. Creation, belief in God, the Creator, is necessary for understanding of who and what we are and our place in creation. And the Archbishop's letter we had last week spoke, you know, in a sense about that God created male and female. So creation, obviously important, but redemption alongside it presupposes that we need redeeming, or to put the evangelical way, we need saving. And so, among the most quoted passages of the Scripture comes today, in that text that you often see on hoardings. Sometimes it just gives the biblical reference, John 3:16. Sometimes the verse is spelt out, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And if you took nothing away with you today other than that, or the two words, redemption and creation, but that's sufficient, because God loved so much that he gave his Son. That's the essence of the faith. But people don't necessarily see why we need salvation, and yet, any look at history is full of events that illustrate why we need that very thing. But of course, you see, our Father we have wandered, that we sang at the beginning, presupposes the Creator, our Father, who's made us. If we don't believe in that, then of course that changes the way you look at things. But just looking at one or two things from history, we can think, for some of us in our lifetime, the Nazi Holocaust, the Soviet genocides, the apartheid, the slave trade, ethnic cleansing, abortion, terrorism, war. I think when we heard that first reading, and you heard about Nebuchadnezzar carted the people off to Babylon, now Iraq, modern-day Iraq, and they waited on Cyrus, king of Persia, Iran. And if you heard President Obama and the Prime Minister speaking, that concern as to whether there may be war with Iran. So the Scriptures always coming to life in different ways. But all those that I mentioned, they're all signs and sort of man's inhumanity to man, human cruelty, attraction towards evil. And as Jesus says to Nicodemus, human beings show that they prefer darkness to light because their deeds are evil. But all those things are based on lies, the lies that one person can be inferior to another because they're of a different race, or they're a different color, or they're a different creed, or because they hold a different political opinion, or because they're actually just defenseless or disabled, in whichever way people want to see that. Now, of course, a lot of those things were darkness and evil on a colossal worldwide scale. And we know it, we hear it, we see it, and we see bits of it on our screens. We think of what's going on in Syria. But what we also know is that it's always a reflection of each of us, because everyone is wounded in a sense by that original sin and its effects. Each one of us knows that within us there can be often a struggle to do the right thing. We often try to do the right thing, and yet we often choose the lesser good. If we're honest with ourselves, we know we can all think of times when we've been unjust, when we've been maybe selfish, when we've been cruel, when we've been thoughtless. The list can go on. It's part of our human condition. And to be human is to be involved in this struggle of good against evil. So the need of the Saviour, of salvation. And so the good news, laetare is always rejoice, rejoice. The good news is that the darkness will not, does not, cannot win. Because at the beginning of John's Gospel, he speaks that we hear on Christmas Day that light that has come into the world, a light that shines in the dark, and a light that darkness could not overpower. And that theme that John states in the opening verse of his Gospel is scattered throughout the Gospel. Themes of light and darkness, but always with the assurance that God triumphs in the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. God creates, that's why John takes you in the beginning. In the beginning, the creation. And then God loves so much that he sends and saves through his Son. We need also to bear in mind, I mentioned it the other way, that evil has no inner power of its own. It's got a power, but it's not got an inner power in that way. It always depends on trying to ruin something that is good. And however, since sin came into the world, in order to save us, Christ chose to experience all that darkness and evil brings. And as it were, in that dark night in Gethsemane, he almost, as it were, looked into the heart of darkness, but didn't flinch. Prayed earnestly, Father, if it's possible, but if it's not, thy will be done. And that's made very clear in that Gospel reading, that as Moses didn't flinch but lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Because God gave his Son not to condemn the world, but to save it. The sad part, I think, reflection for us today is that very often, like when we had to read the letter we had to read last Sunday, that people see it negatively, they see it that we're condemning people. And that is not a true and fair picture, but as it's often perceived. But a part of that did speak of the Creator who made us male and female. It's coming back to what the Christian people, and not just Christian people, Jewish people, Muslim people, other people believe God is the Creator. But what we believe, God loved us so much, he sent his Son. But of course, as Jesus said, that the mystery of human beings as well is that we can prefer the darkness to the light. And that's why today, Laetare Sunday, with this gospel in, Jesus is inviting you to come and live with him in that light. And we can do that first of all, and everything else flows from it, to live a full sacramental life of the church, which is what Jesus left us. God loved the world so much he gave his son, and he's not left us alone. He's left us his sacraments. Every sacrament is an encounter with the risen Lord. All the sacraments flow from the Easter mystery. And that lifting up isn't just the lifting on the cross, which of course is there always for us to see. We're always reminded of that text. God loved the world so much that he gave his son. There's the lifting up on the cross, but there's the lifting up that God did on Easter Day. There's the lifting up as his son was ascended back to the Father, that lifting up, and then he is with us for all time, but in the sacraments. And the sacraments feed and nourish us in order that we can then quietly go on bearing witness to that light of Christ that we've taken within us. We spread his love, and that contributes to the coming of his kingdom. And that can be just in simple little ways, like, you know, a word of kindness to someone, a small act of generosity. Maybe Mothering Sunday is a day for us to be reminding ourselves of what we owe to those who owe a lot of love and have lavished a lot of us love on us. As I said, whether they're still here in this life or they're in heaven or where they are, we pray for them. Be thankful, an act of generosity. Or a refusal, maybe, to join in with gossip or cruel jokes or lots of little things that we can do. The signs of that kingdom coming, that we've been saved. We're not condemning. We're wanting others to be it. And also to see that what we have done, what we're doing, is done in God, who loves us so much.